It's always a, like I said at the beginning, it's a difficult service to do because you're coping with the loss, with the death, and yet we got to speak life, and we got to speak life into those who are present yet to today. And I want to talk to you today about living your best life. Living your best life. You see, everyone has gone before us. Jonathan, Jean, Sean, Danny, Janelle. I'm sure that if they could say one last thing to you, it would be live your life differently. Live the potential that is in your life. Live differently. Be different. Own your destiny. Take hold of your future. You see, these are the things that we need to be looking at for those left behind, so that one day we leave a legacy. All of us are going to go one day, but what are we going to leave behind? That's going to make a huge difference in those who will mourn us and those who are part of the band who love us. Is the legacy we leave behind. Can I cause a little bit of chaos? It's difficult. I mean, now we got life and we got death and we got the Boko one. So I'm going to try find a balance in between today. Okay, is that okay? Awesome. Some of you don't look really happy to be here this morning. Okay. Can I cause some chaos quickly? Everyone stand up. Now I want you to look around. Okay. Do you see anyone who looks exactly like you? Have a look. They might be in the front, yeah? Okay? They might be at the back. Have a good look. If you find someone who looks exactly like you, I'd like you to come forward with that person, okay? But it's got to look like you. It's got to be like a splitting image of you. Is no one coming forward? Do you know why? Take your seats. Because you are unique. You are made specifically. You are made to be different. There's no one who looks like you. No one who could be you. No one who's going to act as stupidly as some of you. No one who's going to do what you do and be who you are, because God created you uniquely. You were born to be different, and it's time we embrace that difference. And we start living the life that we should be living. Why are you trying so hard to fit in? Because you're supposed to be different. We just proved it. You're supposed to be different. You see, fitting in is easy. It's really easy. It's standing out that takes courage. It's being different. It's being who you are that really takes something that comes from, yeah, the guts, the courage, the honesty to stand out. If you're just fitting in, that's called conformity. It means you're happy to look like anyone else. But conformity comes at a cost. Are you willing to pay that price, though? Conformity comes at a cost. So why do people try hard to fit in? Why do they try hard, so hard, to conform to other people? Because it takes a lot less of you. It's a lot easier. And I can't understand why people would want to live a false image instead of a true projection of who you should be. But then I look at my life and I realize, but I did that for most of my life. More than, well, 2/3 of my life, just about. You see, the bottom line is, doesn't matter where you are in your relationship with the Lord, Jesus is the only one who makes us all the same. He doesn't care about color, culture, height, how big you are, how small you are. He doesn't care about any of those things. His blood has covered it all, and it's only in Him that we can be the same as everyone else. He says, you, I've called you, I've made you mine, I've made the way for you, I've made you able to stand out instead of fit in. I was watching a teaching by Devon Franklin. He did a teaching at the Global Leadership Summit, and it just blew my mind. And I'm going to use some of his examples because he just gave such a good message on it. Why don't more people break the mold? Break out of the mold? Like I said, because you've got a deep-seated desire to fit in and to feel wanted. Okay? That's the innermost desire of every single person. If you look around the room, there's some pretty tough looking cookies here and guys. Okay? But even the toughest one, the one who you think has got it all down, even if it's you and you think, I can do life on my terms, you got a desire within you to feel wanted, to fit in, to feel loved, to feel you can be who you were created to be. We've all got it within us. And that is why some people get to Christ, because we find the fulfillment in Him. But some of us are so busy with life, we forget to live the life that Christ has given to us. You see, when you were created, there was a specific recipe, okay? And all these ingredients were mixed together to make you. And you can't be a chocolate chip cookie if you were meant to be a lemon cream. Just own yourself. Be who you were created to be. We got this recipe, okay? Some of you, they threw in quite a few nuts. But we were created to be different, and you're trying to look like everyone else. Be yourself. Stop trying to fit in. When you try to fit in, you're sacrificing the true you. You see, that's part of the cost you're going to play. You're sacrificing yourself because you want acceptance from others. Everybody in this life wants to make a difference, right? But to make a difference, you've got to be different. You can't be like everyone else. You've got to stand up and be counted, because you've got a destiny. You've got a future, and your destiny is your purpose. It is your calling, and your destiny is not a destination. It's a journey. It is the process of you operating in your calling, and every single one of you are called. Doesn't matter if you deny Jesus' existence. It doesn't matter if you never come to church. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing. Every single person here today is called, and you've got to start operating in your calling to fulfill your purpose. So what is your calling? Does anyone disagree that this is the Word of God? Good. So all are in agreement, or you don't have the courage to say, I don't believe it. So you all believe this is the Word of God. This says you got a calling. This says you are all called, and it says you're all called according to His purpose. Okay? So the life you're living now is not the life you should be living if you're not living for Jesus. Because then you're not fulfilling your calling. You have to own your difference, and you need to answer the call. That's the difference between some and the others. Some of us answer the call. Others are happy living a false life opposed to the real you. But I'm confident of this. Today, God is calling. And He's not going to hang up. Don't you just hate it when you, where's my phone's on my chair? When you phone someone and you can see they've just been online and you phone them and now they don't answer. Okay? Do you know how God feels with you? If you want to really get me miffed, don't answer the phone. It irritates me. If I was God, I would send down a few lightning bolts long ago and zap you. Okay. But that's what we do. God's calling and we don't answer the call. We let it ring off the hook. But you can always hear the call. Sometimes the noise of that call filters through the muck that you've made in life. And you hear that call. And then sometimes some people respond, others just drown it out all again. So today, what is your calling saying to you? What is your calling saying that you're not hearing? You, where you are right now, and who have you become in life, isn't what God has called you to be. Who you are right now and what you've become, that is not what God has called you to be. He's called you to be far more. He's called you to a destiny, to a future. And remember, destiny is the process of committing to your calling and walking in it every day. It's not for Sundays. It's for every day, walking in that calling. But people want you to fit into their limited view of who you should be. And you allow them to limit you by fitting in. And God is saying to you today, you are greater than you have become. You are far greater than you become. Stop trying so hard to fit in. You're not going to fit in there. The only place you're going to fit in is with me, because I've created this place specifically for you, because I've known you all the days of your life. So I know where you're going to fit. You go and get so comfortable where you are now, because where you are now, you are not living your best life yet. And it's difficult to see. But when you look in the mirror, who you're seeing is not who you should be. Anthony T. Hink said the following: we spend so long trying to be what other people want that when we look in the mirror, we see a stranger. Yo, I looked in the mirror quite a few times. I didn't like the person I saw. I thought he was pretty good looking. Okay? But I didn't like the person there, because that wasn't me. It wasn't who I was supposed to be. And my prayer for you today is you can just catch a glimpse of how big you actually are. And I'm not talking weight. I'm talking how big in Christ you actually are. And that you won't allow yourself to live a limited version of you any longer. You've got to own up today and say, I've limited myself by limiting God. You know what you're lacking. You know it. And you know you're not living your best life. And because you're not living your best life, and you know you're not living your best life, you've been looking in the wrong places to fulfill the void in you. There's only one place to look. There's only one place to go. And his name is Jesus. And he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if he is life, why are you looking for life in dead things instead of looking for life in him? Who wants to live a better life? Okay, thank you. I feel your commitment to this message. We should all want to live a better life. Ach, my Christe. John, it's his birthday today. He turned, I think he's between 90 and Biltong. But he's still got a life ahead of him. Okay? He's still got days left on this earth. And he's going to want to live it better than he lived the ones behind him. Because he knows Jesus. And he knows he's the way, the truth, and the life. And that he can still live his best life now. You're not limited by age, by color, by culture, by whatever. You're limited by what you think about yourself and how connected you are with God. That's the limitation on our lives. So how do we own our difference? Okay? Firstly, you need to admit it. Okay? Admit it. That's the least you can do, is admit that you are different, and what you've become isn't actually who you are. There's more to your life than what you're currently experiencing. Something is missing in your life. I'll tell you what's missing in your life. The real you. The you who God created you to be. And the disciples, we're not alone in this. The disciples faced exactly the same dilemma we're facing now. Jesus comes to them and says, and they were fishermen, okay? They were tax collectors, they were religious nuts, they were like a weird bunch of people, like us, okay? People from different walks of life, and they battled with this thing because Jesus says, goes up to the fishermen and says, follow me. You got to be different. You can't be a fisherman. I've got something better for you in mind. Imagine when they said yes and they chucked down those nets, what the other fishermen must have thought. Hey, John, Simon Peter, are you nuts? Have you lost it? What's gone on with you? Why are you following this dude? Who's the stranger you just pitched up here? Now you're leaving everything behind. You see, it took guts because they realized what I am doing now is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm fishing for fish, but I should be fishing for men. And they followed Jesus. They owned their difference. Then you've got to embrace the difference. We all know Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. And I mean, this guy had to own his difference. He came from quite a wicked background where he was killing Christians, and now he's spreading Christianity. But he got to a place in his life where he realized, I am so different that I can make this statement, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is embracing the difference, because he became different when he gave his life to Christ. And you have got the potential in you today to be different. And not only be different for a moment, but be different into eternity. To make it stick this time. Because often we realize, I'm on the wrong path. I'm not who I should be. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And then we give our life to Christ. And 2 weeks later, we don't look any different to what we were, because we've fallen back. You make all these promises to the king. And you say, Lord, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And you do everything but this and that. You go back to who you were, living a limited version of yourself. Third point, you've got to live it. This is what I'm getting at. You've got to live the difference. You've got to live who you are supposed to be. And Jesus is busy teaching his disciples, and he's up on this hillside. And you know, people are naskirach, they're inquisitive. So they all gather around and they start listening to him. And he just wants to train up his disciples for this walk. He wants to say to his disciples, listen here, I'm calling you to difference. Okay, I'm calling you to be more than what you currently are. I want you to own your difference today. And he starts teaching them. He says to them, you know what? You were a nobody. But if you listen, and if you apply, you're going to be a somebody who will be remembered not only in this lifetime, but across generations. That's a legacy. Okay. We shouldn't, when we light a candle, say that's it. We should live in the glory and the difference that you left behind for us to follow in. That's a legacy. So he says to them in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. Okay? Now, did you notice it said, you are, not you're going to become. You are the salt of the earth. The problem is, some of us have been willing to be shaken out, because only when salt is shaken onto the food does it make a difference. And some of you, salt and pepper boyki, and you just sit on the shelf. I've got all the potential to make a huge difference, but I'm happier with the other salt cellars on the table. Just don't shake me. Jesus is shaking you today, and I can only gemors uit jou uitskit, because he's got something better in store for you. Let Jesus shake you today, because you are the salt of the earth, and you're supposed to be bringing flavor to other people's lives. It's supposed to be bring taste, something different to what they previously experienced. But then you've got to own up, and you have to say, I'm willing to be the salt of the earth. If you don't, okay, the scripture goes on to give a rather vivid account of what will happen to us if we don't become the salt that we're destined to be. It says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. That's not supposed to be your destiny. But it will be if you don't own your difference. You think God's happy about that? No. But it's a choice you make, and he's going to simply honor your choice. But he wants you to be the salt of the earth. Then he goes on to say in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Again, you are. You've got it in you. You just got to let it out. You've got to own the difference. You have what it takes to stand out. Do you know how big this is, people? You have what it takes to stand out. So why are you fitting in? Why do you look like everyone else? You're supposed to be something different. You are or should be a city on a hill. That says a town, but let's think big. A city on a hill. Okay. You shouldn't be hiding away in the valley. And I used these scriptures a few weeks ago, but they're just so apt for today. People are camped in the valley where no one can see you. Everyone lives in the valley, but you're supposed to be on the mountaintop. You're supposed to be something someone can see. You're different. Look where you are. I want to be with you. I want to go there. But then you've got to change your address. It's Yahi in the valley. When the flood waters come, where do they come? Through the valley. You're supposed to be on the mountaintop. You're supposed to be the light of the world. You're supposed to make a choice between light and darkness. You're supposed to be living up there, not down here. Aren't you tired of living here? When God says, just come a little higher. Come a little higher. Still higher. Still higher. And higher and higher. But we limit ourselves. So God, no. I like it in the darkness. I like it down here. But I know deep within me, in the quiet of the night, I actually want to be up there. Jesus say these things because he's basically telling his disciples, you've got to answer the call to be different. You've got to answer the call to take up ownership of being salt and light. In 2 Peter 1 verse 10 to 11, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, okay, and you are the brothers and the sisters this morning, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. And if you answer the call, this is what it says. For if you do these things, you will never stumble and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you feel that loneliness, that emptiness, that void stirring you this morning? You know why? Because Jesus is knocking on your door. And it's the echo of that knock that you're feeling right now. He's calling you. And he's saying, I need you to answer the call. But some of us have been living a life so far from where we should be that we don't even fit into the door of our destiny anymore. Some of us have been so confused that we can't see I've got a future in Christ. Some of you have become so hard, you can't hear the voice of the Father anymore. And today, he's coming and he's going to break down every single barrier you've built up. And he's going to say, you're different, you're mine. The only place you'll ever have peace is with me, in my presence. I'm opening the door this morning. But the next step is yours. You've got to own up and step through the door that Jesus has opened for you. You've got to take ownership of your life and stop letting people tell you what is a good quality life or how you should be living life or this is who you are. You've got to start being yourself and you are a child of God whether you want to admit it or not. You just got to step through the door this morning and you got to drown out of the voice of the world telling you who you are, what you should look like and how you should behave. When are you going to stop letting people dictate your life to you and let the truth of the Word of God take control in your life so you can live your best life now by being different? I was in the Air Force. I was permanent force for, 14 years. Okay. I loved the sport days and the bar days and the jewel days and see, I was one of the boys there, and not boasting or something, in the unit I was one of the big boys. I used to hang out with the bosses and was well connected. I was part of the drinking team. I was in with all the golfers, in with the cricketers, in with anything, man about the place. I was always first at the bar, and unless my wife dragged me out early, I would be the last to leave the bar. I was all of those things. I was one of the manna. And as much as what I was there, I always used to hear a voice every now and again saying, you're not in this, not where you belong. And I tried for years and years to drown that voice. But it kept telling me, this is not who you are. You are different. This isn't who you are, Paul. This is what you've become. And I became dissatisfied of what I had become. I'm not saying there's anything bad about drinking or smoking or all of these things, but it's everything that went with it, that mindset, that this is more important than God and all of those things. But I couldn't drown out that voice telling me, Paul, this is not you. Paul, there's more in you. Paul, stand up. Paul, be different. These people need you. And one day I answered the call and I stepped through that doorway and I said yes to Jesus. It was one of the best days, well, is the best day of my life. But after that, some of the most difficult days of my life followed. Because they still knew the old Paul. They still knew who I was and not what I'd now become or was trying to become. It was a battle. It was not easy. Don't believe this gospel that is easy. I'd be courageous. I'd walk it through. And some people laughed at me. And some people said, I want to see this. And I had to really get on my knees before God and say, Lord, without you, I can't be different. It's only with you, Lord, that I can be who you called me to be. As the praise and worship team comes back, I needed Jesus because I needed to be different. I couldn't carry on being who the world told me I am when I knew God had said I'm something different. I had a wife who stood by me. I met other people who came alongside me, who held my arms up when I was weak and I didn't want to carry on. Because of Jesus, and because of people who loved him and stood by me, I'm left now. What I thought was a good life was a lie. It was a lie. But only when I stood up and said, I want to be different, I want to change, I want to step through that door, could I begin to live my best life now. See, I'm not the old Paul. I'm now the real Paul, the one who God called. And he's calling you this morning. And you can too live your best life. You can own your difference. It's one decision away. It's a decision to stand out. It's a decision today to answer that call and to live your best life because of the life that he's given to you. Let's close our eyes.